Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos, a seven-year-old girl in the state of Texas at West Memorial Junior High School was reportedly told by her teacher to put the word myth by who God is. And she, a seven-year-old daughter, after texting her mother, we'll have this text in a moment, 12-year-old daughter, she testified before the school board. She's barely taller than the podium, and she was talking boldly for God and what actually happened in the classroom. This is happening in classrooms all across America, and we need to take a stand just like Jordan Woolley did. Let's take a look at her. This is her testifying before the school board what actually happened.
Jordan Woolley. You have 5 minutes to speak to us. If you don't want to use that time, you don't, just as much as you want.
Today I was given an assignment in school that questioned my faith and told me that that God was not real. Our teacher had started off saying that the assignment had been given problems all day, and we were asked to take a poll to say whether God is fact, opinion, or a myth. And she told anyone who said that a fact or opinion was wrong and that God is only a myth. And she started saying, telling kids that they were completely wrong, and that when kids would argue, she had told them that we would get in trouble. And whenever we asked why we were led to believe that he was true, if he is untrue, she told us to ask our pastors. When I tried to argue, she told me to prove it. And I tried to reference things such as the Bible and stories that I've read before from people that have died and went to heaven but have come back and told their stories. And she told me that both were just things that people were doing to get attention. And I know that it wasn't just me who was affected by it. My friend, she went home and she started crying. And she was actually supposed to come with me, but she didn't think she could. So my friend, she turned in her paper, and she had still put that God was a fact and to be true. And my teacher crossed the answer out several times, telling her that it was completely wrong. And one of my other friends, she got really upset, and she started arguing with the teacher, and the teacher got mad. And my friend, she wound up slamming everything off of her desk because she got really aggravated with the whole issue. And whenever my friend and I came home, we immediately told our parents about it, and we called the principal, and she said that she would handle it, but she said that the teacher had already gone home. And another child in my class had asked the teacher if we could, try to put what we believe in on the paper. And she said, you can if you want to get the problem wrong, which will fail. You'll fail the paper if you do. And I felt like this was really wrong, and I didn't feel like it was fair for my faith and my religion to have anything to do with what I'm learning about in school. And I had known before that it I know that our schools aren't really supposed to teach us much about religion or question anything about religion. And when I tried to talk to my teacher about it, she told me that it doesn't have anything to do with religion, because the problem was just saying that there is no God.
Mr. Frady.
Thank you. First of all, thanks for coming tonight. I'm truly sorry that you feel your faith was questioned. As you point out, the principal was made aware of this today, and we'll have a chance to work on that as per district policy and procedures. So thank you for coming tonight. We will definitely be looking into that. Very much appreciate it. Very brave of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, honey. Good job, honey.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Jordan. Oh, we have one little quick question.
Clarifying, I may have missed it. What grade were you in again?
I'm in seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Okay, thank you.
Mr. President, clarifying question.
Mr. DeBrow.
What school?
I'd rather we not have that at this point in time. You have a resolution process that we need to follow. And I think getting into these details right now would be violating your own process. It would be unfair to a lot of folks, and putting her on the spot is not a good thing. Not a recommendation.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr.
It was very brave of you. Thank you.
What's interesting, it was very brave of this young seventh grade student to say that, but it wasn't brave of the superintendent to stand up and say what he just said. By the way, the name of her school is West Memorial Junior High in Texas. They told her, based on her story, and why would the girl make this up? Why would she even do all that? As a matter of fact, we're going to show you her text that goes back and forth to her mother that was shocked, and also a report of what the superintendent is saying to the public. We get back for the break. Make sure you join us.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for matures. And as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. Sign up today.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John, this 12-year-old 7th grade student in Texas. But, you know, it makes me think of Santa Rosa County in Florida, the Panhandle, Florida. It's a very conservative area in Florida. And pretty much if you go to Santa Rosa County, I think there is a church every five blocks, you know, that you could see. And there's even more church, more Christians. And they put a sign up just this week based on what the superintendent said that, you know, because we had the superintendent of another county in Panhandle, Malcolm Thomas, for Escambia County School System, and he says, you know, that they say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, but they put up in the Santa Rosa schools saying that the sign that says it's optional, you do not have to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
What is happening? Think about that.
Can you imagine telling your kids, it's like, cleaning your room is totally optional.
Yeah, optional.
You know, if it's totally optional, if you don't want to go defend the country, it's just totally optional. Wow. If you don't want to eat your vegetables, it's just totally optional. Right? You know, so
amazing.
So now you have, and I really believe the young people, and next week we're going to have part of our program. We're going to have some of our interns, you know, talking about their experiences in the internship program. And I'm telling you, don't think you need to get to a certain point in your life before you can do something for God. Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Now's the time to get involved. And we can find out more at VFNTV.com about the internship. But here she is standing boldly before these grown-ups, telling them what her experience was in the classroom. And in that,
She's so brave, you know.
Yeah, her own mother. But they wouldn't even let her say the name of her own school. This is her own personal experience, and they couldn't even share it.
Scared.
We had the same situation, I know, with a child that she's talked about. The ants were created by God, and the teacher comes up and says,
"We don't talk about God here."
Right? No, you don't talk about God.
That's right.
I mean, this is what we're coming to, and that's what the magazine decision by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association was talking about. You know, when a nation turns its back on God, what do you do when they're denying, you know, God exists? You got to do like this 12-year-old girl. We got to do like Jordan Woolley. Now, listen to this. This is a report that came in where the superintendent goes out and starts talking in a very nice way, John. In a very nice way, they say she was not telling the truth. Look at this text. Look at the text that her mother, she's texting her mother right here. You got to see this thing. I don't know if y'all can see it on the screen. But this text, look at this text. She says, in this particular text, can you put up on the screen that can see it there? It says, she's writing to her mother. She says, "Hey, Mom, so we had a reading requirement to say that God is just a myth, right? I thought that if a question was against our religion, that we could do whatever we thought was true or say whatever we thought was true as we see in there." And then her mother comes back and says, "Wait, what?" He says, she comes back, she says, "We had to deny that God is real. Yeah, we had to say that he was just a myth." I mean, think about this. Why would this 12-year-old girl, and you're going to see that the paper right here in a moment, and it says very specifically on this paper that you get 20 points, which means if you don't do it, you don't get 20 points. Mm. You know, she was supposed to write myth by God. But that superintendent, she came and told them. He wouldn't even let her name the school. Of course, we told you what the name of the school is. But the fact is that he comes out and basically in a very nice way says this little girl ain't telling the truth. It's not telling the truth. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
"This was a mistake this time, I do believe. And I think we've all learned from this."
Katy Superintendent Alton Fraley says the investigation into this incident is concluded. And he did say the discussion about God did not belong in the classroom.
"And one of those statements, which I do not approve of, was, there is a God. And then, is that a fact, opinion, or common assertion? Highly inappropriate, has not been used again, will not be used. In fact, it's literally in the trash can."
Jordan Woolley stood before the school board Monday night saying that to get the question right, the teacher expected them to answer God was a common assertion or myth, and that her faith told her God was a fact. Jordan says it was a graded assignment, and the discussion became argumentative and upsetting.
"And if I had any reason to believe and any evidence to support it, that a teacher did do what has been alleged, I will stand with Jordan as well. But based upon the facts of the principal's investigation, those assertions just are not true."
Fraley says he is not calling Jordan a liar, but Fox 26 has spoken to other parents who have said that Jordan's statements are accurate. Fraley himself says he has not talked to any of his parents.
"I haven't spoken to anybody. I know Mrs. Cobb has spoken to at least one other parent."
Ms. Cobb is the principal of the school who claims the assignment was not meant for a grade, despite several parents telling Fox 26 it absolutely was.
"The assignment was not intended for a grade. It was not intended for a grade through the lesson planning or communicated to the students that the assignment was going to be taken for a grade."
"Why did the assignment say on it that it was worth 20 points? That section. Did you see it?"
"Yes."
"Why did it say 20 points?
I don't have that answer for you at this
point." "Exactly.
The assignment itself was not an assign."
Is God factual or is he a myth? And you get 20 points. She says, "Why did it say 20 points? If it was just optional, why was it 20 points? You see it? Do you see it? Do you see it?" And it's like you're seeing the paper. And, you know, if you remember what school's like, every point counts. Every grade
absolutely
counts. That's what parents discipline their children for, their grades not being up, right?
What a young and impressionable age. This is a 12-year-old girl who's in the seventh grade in the middle school. If you don't remember, that's a very tough age and period for a young person. And to be able to publicly take a bold stand like that, I commend that young lady. And I encourage other young students that are watching VFN TV. This is your generation. It's important that we even had the superintendent of school say that if a student boldly proclaims their faith for Jesus Christ, then they certainly can. You have that
constitutional right.
They're not going to
be
right to do that.
Yeah, and two, you know, of course, be truthful. You know, make sure you got your facts together. But do not. This is the point in time. You know, this is the test for everyone. Are you going to deny God?
Mm.
According to Decision Magazine, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, he talks about how to keep your faith while a nation denies the existence of God. And because the nation right now, it's being challenged, you know, and there's a lot of groundwork. It didn't just get here like this. But this is time for you to say, I believe in God.
Yeah.
It's time for to find out in whom do you believe. Who, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, who do they say I am? You know, who do the Democrats say I am? Who do the Republicans say I am? Who do the Independents say I am? Who do the pastors say I am? I mean, he went through a list of a couple different folks. But then he said, Jesus said, who do you say I am? And that's very important. Eternity rests on your thoughts, who you think God is to you. And he said, truly, you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. That is the revelation. Understanding who he is and who he is to you is the most important thing. So you can't, you know, just casually just say, hey, I'm going to deny God today, but tomorrow it's going to be, I mean, you can, but Peter did that, you know, and God rescued him, but he,
it's called mercy.
It was a huge rescue for him. If you go back and read it, he denied him three times. And that was a difficult thing when you see your leader being crucified. He did everything right, healed everybody, and he's being treated so unjustly by man. And he saw that, and now somebody says, are you related to? That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
The church is being persecuted across the world. You're seeing Christians raped, robbed, beheaded, taken into slavery. You're seeing leaders around the world conspire against the people of God and against God. And some of our own leaders are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, are we going to be like Peter at that beginning and deny that maid comes up and questions him about, you know, aren't you one of the Galileans? Didn't you know? No, I never knew Greg Lancaster. I didn't know who he was. I don't know who John Ramos is. I've never watched that program. XTN,
something like that. Yeah.
ESP. But Pat Hamilton. No. But the thing about it is that we're supposed to be confident in whom we believe is Jesus Christ. And this 12-year-old girl set an example for all of us. And you can go back. We'll make sure it's related to you, but you can watch the entire interview with Superintendent of Schools, Malcolm Thomas of Escambia County School System. And he just nailed it. He's a Christian. He's a good school superintendent. He loves the 42,000 kids he's over. And he says very specifically in detail, what are your rights as a student?
We'll be right back. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I've been told at my workplace that I'm not allowed to have any religious conversation with any fellow coworker. Me and another coworker want to converse about this, and it does not interfere with the work environment. They're having someone else offended, and I told them we have the right to freedom of speech, but we don't have the right not to be offended. And I just want to hear your views on that there.
You're right. I mean, sometimes people have interpreted, and some courts have interpreted the First Amendment as a basis upon which you have the right not to be offended. But when you're on your break time, when you're in the lunchroom during lunch, and you want to have discussions about your faith, about what the gospel means to you in your life, you're allowed to have those discussions. Let me get you in touch with some of our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help as well.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, God gave me a dream, and in this dream, he spoke to me in the dream, because after a while, when you pray for people who need healing, and people just look at it as a religious experience, and just a whole bunch of unbelieving believers, you know what I'm saying? And that's what Joyce Myers was saying.
We prayed and something actually happened. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Joyce Myers says, the issue is we have a whole church full of unbelieving believers. And, but, you know, it's almost, you know, you start seeing just a few miracles here and there. I mean, we've seen some pretty wild, awesome things, but it's supposed to be always with us, you know? And so in this dream, I was praying for someone, and in a standard way that probably a lot of us do, is just saying, you know, God, you know, heal this person, you know, of whatever. And God speaks to me, and he said, you know, how it is, and you just know. And he's saying, don't, I guess you could paraphrase it this way. Don't tell the sickness about, don't tell me about the sickness. Tell the sickness about me.
Oh, wow.
In other words, speak directly. Don't, I know they're sick. You know, I'm looking for you to deal with that sickness and to speak to it. But then when you do that, everybody knows it's like, you can't throw it off on God. So then the expectations is the results equals faith. You know, faith is being sure what you hope for, certain of what you don't see, and not to put your experience above God's reality, you know, for whatever reason. And so we're going to be talking about this. Actually,
that's great.
It is. It's powerful.
That's powerful.
And you'll be really surprised. God wants that person healed more than you do. And it can be your faith. It could be their faith, or it could be somebody else's faith that's in that area that has faith for God to move. And God responds by faith. If he responded by poverty, if God, if poverty moved God, wouldn't he be moving in Nepal? I mean, he is moving in Nepal, but wouldn't just the fact that it's the poorest nation, I believe, country on the face of the earth, that's where he would be. I mean, you would just go to Nepal to find God.
Right.
If torture and torment and persecution would be the place that God moved because you're suffering and people's treating you bad, wouldn't you go to North Korea? Because they have Christians in these gulags and these terrible places. They're treating them horrifically. Or wouldn't he be in the Iranian prisons, you know, in Iran where they're persecuting Christians? Or wouldn't he be on the shore of Tripoli where they're beheading Christians? You know, or if, you know, if money moved God, you know, wouldn't God be stirred up all over the nation of America, the richest nation in the world?
Yeah.
But what moves God? I mean, a lot of times people think, because I got the biggest pain, I've been treated the worst, I got the worst things happening to me, you know, therefore God's going to touch me. And it's like, this is not true. This is what moves God, based on my experience, and John can share his, is that you believe he wants to move. You believe that he exists. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He's the creator of the universe. His son is Jesus. He loves you, and he wants to heal you. It's called faith. You just have faith that God is good, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's just good. You don't need to explain God. I mean, he is just good, and he wants to heal. I mean, every scripture talks about he healed all.
Everyone, right?
And so that's, and he said, go preach to all, and all who are baptized. I mean, it's just, he's into all. And so so the Lord spoke to me specifically in the way things happen in dreams, is begin to speak to that sickness. And we found out how, you know, we have a prayer community, and we've been praying for years now, you know, and just learning how to pray. We have one day that we try to, you know, focus on in prayer, and if you want to know how to do that, what you're doing, we'd share that with you as well. And so we're praying over specific areas and things, but there's one area we just didn't know how to pray about. It was just so big. It was so just, how do you even pray about something so large? So all we did was just say grace. The whole prayer was about just say grace. We said grace, grace three times. We would just pray over that. And that's all, that was the whole extent of the prayer. And we saw God move more in that area, which was huge. I can't even tell you how specific, how big this area is. But we just couldn't even wrap our brains around it. We couldn't even, it's too many words. I mean, how do you use that many verbs and nouns and predicates and all that kind of stuff? It's like, what scriptures do you use? And it's just like, grace, right?
How important is that? Because maybe there's somebody right now that's watching that thinks, You're intimidated because every time you may be in a gathering with other believers that are praying, you're saying, I don't pray like that.
Right.
And they know all the scriptures and it flows so beautifully. Obviously, God is going to hear that prayer over mine. No. God responds to faith, not to eloquence. God responds to your earnestly going after him and praying and believing that he's going to do what his word says he's going to do.
Right. And so think about that. So God looks for an opportunity to pour out his grace. And grace is getting what we don't deserve. And God's just healings and deliverance and all the things. He died to give us this, so he wants to give it to us. He just wants us to know that this is what he desires to do. And so you may just say, look at your family member or look at your business situation or your bills. Maybe, I don't know what it is. It could be you have a business crisis going on right now and you're just crushing under the thought of what to do. You don't know what to do. Just look at it and just say, grace, grace. And this is what the Lord said to Zerubbabel. Just shout at it, grace, grace. And God can take huge mountains in your life and just plateau them out and flatten them out where you can travel through them. And right now in America, you know what we need in America? We need grace.
Yeah.
You just need to shout grace over your state, grace over the nation, grace over your family, grace over your church gathering, grace, 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 grace. And I'm telling you, when God begins to move, he does what he wants to do at that point, and it's always good. And it's way beyond what you could possibly think. But you know it's him, and you start thinking, I think I just want to change all my prayers to just grace. What was I even praying before? Grace. Yeah. Because sometimes we don't pray grace or a graceful prayer, then we're moving into works and pride or whatever, you know, some kind of self-reliance or whatever. So I just want to pray for you right now. I just want to speak because you heard a lot about what's happening in the nation, and you're all the way from, you know, maybe your church is under some sort of political or governmental attack or those type of things. We just want to pray grace over this whole situation. Father God,
yes.
We just pray grace right now over our audience, grace over their marriage, grace over their family. I feel like some of you got teenagers that your heart is just shattered. Your brain is just melted down in thoughts about that. But I just say grace over your children,
yes.
Grace over your son, grace over your daughter, grace over your relatives, grace over that family member that has been struck with something and you're wondering what it is. And we just say, be healed in Jesus' name. God, we even declare it even now, Lord, that your grace, we know, is good and it will do what we don't even deserve, but it's good, God. And I just say, grace, grace, grace over America, grace over Washington, D.C., grace over all 50 states, grace over 3,600 counties and parishes in America, grace, we declare, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.